Thanks, RB, for giving me 30 minutes. I didn't know I had that long.
As long as you need.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. When is the last time you shared the story of Jesus Christ with somebody? When is the last time you shared what God is like to somebody? How would you describe to somebody what God is like? What words would you use to describe him? You say that you know him. You say that he's revealed himself to you. You say that you know his word. You sing about him. Okay, put it into words. How would you describe God to somebody who doesn't know much about God? Some people get their impressions from God in the church. Some people get their impressions about God from outside the church. And sometimes it's when they drive by the church and they see those signs on the roadside. Some of them are funny, some of them aren't. So, for instance, this one, God is like Allstate. You know you're in good hands. So he's a caring God. Oh. Here's one. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So he's an all-knowing God. Here's another one. Living without God is a lot like dribbling a football. So he's an all-sufficient God. Now, those are positive images of the Lord, but sometimes the signs have a different ring altogether. For instance, this one. Some things are written in stone. So he's a bossy God. Or this one. You think it's hot in here? He's a threatening God. Or this one. What part of thou shalt not did you not understand? He's a demanding God. There was a Bible study group, and they were studying the book of Acts, chapter 5, and that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And they had lied to God, and they were struck dead. And this man in the Bible study group said, I have trouble with this. I just don't see this. To me, there are two gods in the Bible. There's the Old Testament God, and there's the New Testament God. And they're very different, he said. They're as different as night and day. He believed that the Old Testament God was a God of judgment and condemnation and anger, while the New Testament God was the God of compassion and love. And he said, I could never honor or respect that Old Testament God. You may be surprised to know that there are many Christians today who think that way about God. There may be some in here, I don't know. I hope no one has that distorted view of God. It's an heretical view of God. Some would say it's an even a selfish view of God. I sincerely hope that you don't have that false impression of God, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. The Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same God. So how would you describe him to somebody? How would you describe him to somebody? One way to do it is to visit Mount Sinai. That's where we're going today in our series. I know you know the story of Moses and Mount Sinai, and the people and Moses learned a lot about what God is like at Mount Sinai. Let's start reviewing that story in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, you know the story, take off your shoes, throw down your rod, you're on holy ground, do what I say, Moses, I am that I am. You know that story. God is in charge of nature. And God is in charge of things beyond nature. God is in charge of the natural. God is in charge of the supernatural. When you are dealing with the challenges of the natural or the supernatural, brothers and sisters, you need to draw close to Him and take off your shoes, because you are on holy ground and you need to listen to Him. Moses was about 80 years old when this happened. 80 years old. How many people can identify with that? We have some people in this room who are either there, beyond there, or flirting with there, or feel like they're flirting with there. God has chosen unlikely people at an unlikely time of life to do things to them and with them and through them. He calls people of all ages and changes their lives so that they can change the lives of other people. You are never too old for God to reach out and take you and say to you, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Now listen to me. Do what I say. How old were the McClures? How old were the Lipas? How old were the Lances or the Greffins or the Kinseys or the Fitzburgers when they founded this church and the others with them? And Jack, I was glad you're here today, because I knew I was going to mention your name. Thank you for being part of that founding body. Do you think that any of them imagined a few years ago that they would have ever founded a church? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of faith. That's scary sometimes. They took off their shoes and they listened to God, and they had a Mount Sinai experience. As we know, Moses had another, even more dramatic experience on Mount Sinai, and I'm reading from Exodus 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. It sounds a lot like sight and sound theater to me, doesn't it to you? Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. It sounds like an eruption of a volcano. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Exodus 20, moving later on in Exodus, verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. What is God like? He can be very intimidating. And sometimes He needs to be intimidating. I heard a story about a man who was a substitute teacher in school. Have any of you ever been a substitute school teacher? Anybody ever done that? Ah, some hands are going up. Oh, it takes a brave person. It takes a strong person to be a substitute school teacher. And this guy was assigned the toughest school in town. Now, weeks and months before, he had had an injury with his ribs, and he had on a full body cast plaster around his body under his shirt, and you could hardly know that it was there. He walked into the classroom, took a deep breath, and with confidence, he walked right past the desk, and he walked over to the window, and all the kids there were sizing him up. What's it going to be like today with this sub? What can we get away with today? He went over to the window, and he opened the window wide, and all the kids were surprised because it was a very windy day. Then he went over to the desk, and he sat down at the desk with authority. And the wind, of course, started whipping through that window, and it blew across the desk, and it blew his tie up into his face. He reached into the desk drawer and he got a stapler, and then he stapled his tie to his chest. And those kids didn't misbehave from that point on. On Mount Sinai, God stapled his tie to his chest. Listen to me. And the people were afraid of him in the sense of awe. Awe. Exodus 20, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and they heard the trumpet and they saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Listen to what Moses said to them. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. What is God like? He means business. He can be scary, but it's for our own good. Is he a God to be feared? Absolutely, he's a God to be feared, but in the sense of respect and awe and reverence. Years ago, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner did a skit. It went like this. Reiner asked, did you always believe in the Lord? And Brooks replied, no. We had a guy in our village named Phil, and for a time we worshiped him. You worshiped a guy named Phil? Why? Because he was big and mean, and he could break you in two with his bare hands. Did you have prayers? Yes, would you like to hear one? Oh, Phil, please don't be mean or hurt us or break us in two with your bare hands. So when did you start to worship the Lord? Well, one day a big thunderstorm came and a lightning bolt hit Phil. We gathered around and we saw that he was dead. And then we said to each other, there's something bigger than Phil. Which reminds me of the song, Somebody Bigger Than You and I. You know that song? Brothers and sisters, there is somebody bigger than you and I. So reverence him and honor him and fear him in the sense of awe. A little girl asked her daddy, Daddy, how big is God? And his father thought about that for a moment and he said, Honey, God is always just a little bigger than you need. Take that gem with you today. You may need it. Reverence him. Honor him. Fear him. On Mount Sinai, God was saying, I am God and you are not. That's part of the Mount Sinai experience. We're not God. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we're told over and over to fear the Lord in the sense of having awe and reverence for him. We're told that's the beginning of wisdom. We're told that it adds length to our lives. We're told that it brings wealth and honor. The New Testament also echoes that theme in Revelation 15, verse 3. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O God, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. That is what God is like. But what came next on Mount Sinai challenged mankind forever, because God said, Thou shalt not. And I'm sure he used King James English. Amen. Amen. Thou shalt not. In the Garden of Eden, God said, Thou shalt not. Through the Ten Commandments, God drew a line, an eternal line, and he said, Thou shalt not. There's something about rules and regulations that make some people very uncomfortable because some people just don't like rules. They like guidelines. And that's more and more true in the society in which we live, is it not? There was a youth pastor who told this story. He took a group of young people to a youth rally, and it was held at a neighboring church, and it was a beautiful new sanctuary. It was one of those gorgeous traditional sanctuaries with stained glass windows and wooden pews, and it was just beautiful. One of the parents came along with the kids, and he saw how beautiful and new and lovely this sanctuary was, and he went to the youth pastor, who was going to be serving as the moderator on the platform. And he said to the youth pastor, "I think you should say something to the kids about respecting this place. Let's leave it the way we found it." And he said, "Okay." So he got up into the platform and he talked about the sanctuary and he said what he had to say, and you can probably guess what happened. One of the boys took out a penknife and carved his initials on the back of one of the beautiful wooden pews. And the father said to the youth pastor, "Why did he do that?" And the youth pastor said, "Because I asked him not to. Thou shalt not." Some people love to ignore the rules. They willfully break the rules. God did not give us the 10 suggestions. Ever heard that one? You and I carry around a penknife. We don't remember that it's there, but just given the opportunity, you and I are just as likely to take out a penknife and do something that we've been told not to do just because we were told not to do it. Why do rules offend people? Because rules reveal our true nature, and breaking the rules is our true nature. Do you remember that man I talked about in the Bible study who didn't like the Old Testament God? He preferred the New Testament God. He probably would have said, those Ten Commandments, they were for people who lived back then, but now that Jesus has come, we don't need those Ten Commandments. How wrong? How wrong could he be? Brothers and sisters, if that's your mindset, I challenge it. I challenge it. And we noted that today, it's challenging even to display the Ten Commandments in public places. More and more. Our society is saying, "I will," rather than "I will not." Pastor Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church in Chicago said this: "God alone knows all the facts, sets all the goals, and determines morality. Nowhere in Scripture are His principles to be replaced in favor of human calculation. He allows us to play the game. He does not allow us to make the rules." Mankind does not want God to give us a melody. Mankind wants God to dance to our own tune. What is God like? He's the creator of all things. He is the absolute moral authority of the universe, and he is to be feared and obeyed. That is the loud message from Mount Sinai. Honor me, reverence me, obey me. But there's another story about Mount Sinai I want us to remember. It's also in the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah was hiding in fear for his life, and God found him. And beginning in verse 11, it says this: "The Lord said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" That mountain was also Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai had three names in the Bible: Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, and the Mountain of the Lord. Continuing with 1 Kings 19, Then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out to the mouth of the cave and stood before the Lord. That intimidating God that used thunder and fire and earthquakes and noise with awesome power now reveals himself with that still, small, gentle voice, a whisper. Moses was close to God, and he heard that voice. Elijah was close to God, and he heard that voice. The people were at a distance. They were not close to God. And what they heard was scary. God wants to speak to you through a gentle voice, but you have to be close to him to hear it. You have to draw near to him and cover your face in awe before him. What is God like? He is a God who speaks tenderly when you are close to him. That's also a Mount Sinai experience. According to the psalmist in 103 that Debbie beautifully read earlier, God is the one who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. My prayer for you today is that he will speak to you in that still small voice. Sometimes God does that through music. For many of us, he does that through music. So, I want you to listen to a song. It's reproduced for you in the bulletin. It's one of the inserts. You can follow along. And we're going to listen to the first two verses of this hymn. And when we reach verse 3, we're going to remain seated and sing it together. Let's listen.